Do you remember what your life was like when you were 16 years old? I remember being stressed about maths, playing cricket all day, video games and all of that, without a care for the world. But today on the MetaRoy podcast, I am honored to share the inspirational story of a 16-year-old founder building a super decentralized banking platform that is looking to replace banks altogether, all while managing his studies and sports concurrently. I'm your host Prashant Roy, and joining me today on the podcast is Harshal Madnani, the founder of Zaid Finance. Before we start, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast on YouTube or follow this podcast on whichever platform you're listening to this on to get notified when new episodes are released. Also, crypto markets are really volatile right now, so make sure to do your own research. And this is not financial advice in any sort of way, so make sure to do your own research before investing in the crypto space. So with that out of the way, let's get started. Hey Harshal, welcome to the MetaRoy podcast. It's so great to have you here. How is your day going so far?
Hey Prashant, yeah, it's my pleasure to be on the podcast, and you know, it's really great to be here.
Absolutely. Let's dive into it. This space is kind of bursting in the last few weeks, right? And with so many things happening right now, right? What is going on in this space?
So first of all, we are in a bear market right now. Everybody is losing money. I'm pretty sure most of our portfolios are down 40%, 50%, 60% maybe. So yeah, it's a tough time for all of us where, you know, builders got to build and we are going to make it at the end of the day. Recently, like, you know, as you're speaking, like when this podcast is being recorded, the feud between the two of the biggest whales in the space is going on. Sam Bankman-Fried, aka SBF, and Changpeng Zhao, or CZ. They are the founders and the, you know, the heads of the two of the biggest exchanges in crypto, Binance and FTX. And they both are whales. FTX is known to liquidate other protocols and you know, to destroy other exchanges such as Celsius, Voyager, and then take over them. But now is the time that he's getting a taste of his own medicine. When CZ, another whale and the biggest guy in the space, the OG, is dumping FTT tokens. Binance is also a stakeholder of FTX, is trying to finish off FTX by dumping all of FTT tokens and making FTX as illiquid as possible. FTX today, and Alameda Research, is insolvent due to the fact, although on paper it is solvent, it is insolvent in reality because most of the collateral is in FTT tokens. And they take the fully diluted market cap of FTT tokens, which is basically FTX's own token. Therefore, it can be said that FTX today is insolvent. And when CZ is attacking them at such a crucial time, it is definitely bad news for them. And as you're speaking, CZ is transferring more than $500 million worth of FTT tokens to be dumped in the open market. Other than that, other than seeing two whales, not two whales, it's basically one whale trying to kill off another whale. We have also seen multiple cross-chain bridges hacks. We have also seen DeFi as a space lose some liquidity. We have seen multiple DeFi protocols fall. We have seen DeFi going into its new phase where DeFi is getting into more real-world adoption. We have seen the rise of ReFi. So that's what's going on in the DeFi space.
Amazing. I think CZ is definitely trying to take over the world, it seems. First Twitter and now FTX. I don't know what's coming for us. Let's see how it goes. But yeah, let's talk about DeFi. So talk us through your journey in DeFi. How did you get started? Because literally, you were yourself 16 years old, and Bitcoin itself was kind of around your age. So when it started, and you have seen the entire development lifecycle in your life, I would say, when you saw Bitcoin, then Ethereum, the DeFi space coming in. Tell us what DeFi is in your perspective, and how you kind of grew up with this space. What was it like? Tell us through your story about it.
Definitely. So for me, DeFi is it's one of the greatest inventions of all time. Because see, every great invention such as the computer, the internet, electricity, it's to make our lives more safer and to make it more efficient. And DeFi is making our lives more efficient because it removes all the third parties in the current financial system. It is removing, you know, it is making it autonomous, making it more efficient. And secondly, it's making it safer because it's removing a central party, therefore removing any human errors that can occur, as well as keeping everything transparent without revealing anybody's identities. Therefore, it is more safer as well. So for me, that's what DeFi is. And the reason why DeFi is one of the greatest inventions of all time, because it is one of the largest markets that is attacked. The current traditional financial services market is $22 trillion. $22 trillion is just a lot. That is the largest market in the world. DeFi for me, the reason why I love DeFi so much is because Web3, crypto and everything started with Bitcoin. Bitcoin was made to solve the problem of payments. Payments is just one of the issues, but at the end of the day, it was solving a financial problem. Web3, crypto, and everything was made for DeFi. DeFi will always remain on the top. So that's why for me, DeFi is very important. My journey in DeFi started in around 2019. I was like everybody else. Come on, let's buy Bitcoin. Let's buy Bitcoin. Not even Ethereum. Let's buy Bitcoin. I bought Bitcoin, but you know, investing is not really my game. I hate, you know, just staying in one place, waiting for my portfolio to grow. I'm the guy who wants to do stuff. So I got into trading. And around the starting of 2021, I got into trading. I was an active trader. I traded across multiple centralized exchanges. Then I got into DeFi. And then I realized, you know, if you want to go to the next level, if you want to go to the major leagues, you got to go into get into quant trading. So that's when I started into. Then I started to, you know, using other people's trading bots, and now I designed my own.
Can you also talk about what exactly quant trading is for people who don't know?
Yeah. So quant trading is nothing but trading using multiple algorithms and multiple bots, right? Because humans are slow. Humans are inefficient. Humans get tired at the end of the day. Humans play on emotions. Robots don't. Algorithms don't. Algorithms can do it fast. They can do it repetitively. They can do it much faster than any human possible. So therefore, quant trading is nothing but basically the usage of computer algorithms in trading. That's what quant trading is. It's just to replace humans at the end of the day. At the end of the day, every menial task and every task that can be replaced will be replaced by AI and multiple code. Humans will be only used for, you know, critical thinking and stuff that requires your imagination and the creative side of your brain, I would say. So that's how I got into trading. And after that, for me, DeFi was more than, you know, just making money out of it. I mean, I was here to make money, definitely. But DeFi was something, you know, it was something larger than life for me. It was, I thought that it was a much better purpose. So this is my first experience in DeFi. The first time I used a DeFi protocol. So it took me $10 and 3 wallets to get into DeFi. So I wanted to purchase a token on Solana. Okay, so this is my journey. So first I had to go to my centralized exchange. I had to pay 3-4% fees to convert my fiat to crypto. I had to get my crypto. I had to then bring it to MetaMask, right? By paying huge amount of fees on Ethereum, even though I wanted that token on Solana. That token was USDC. I wanted USDC on Solana, but I had to get it on Ethereum by paying huge fees because there was no Solana withdrawal available. Then I had to bridge it to Solana. Again, I lost some money to some fees, slippage, etc. After waiting for 30 minutes, then I got my USDC. Then I had to install Phantom. There's so many steps. I'm just forgetting the steps as well. I had to install the Phantom browser extension. Then I had to transfer my bridge Solana. Then I had to basically get my USDC, bridged USDC on Solana. And then with 2-3% slippage, after I had to connect my wallet to browser, of course, the dApp, I finally got to purchase my token on Solana. And this was just to purchase a token using a DEX, one of the most simplest tasks in DeFi. So after that, you know, and this and a lot of experiences using DeFi for a long time, I'm an avid mobile user. For me, desktop applications are not my forte, to be honest. I hate using desktop apps. I'm a Gen Z, man. I mean, everything can be done on this device. Nobody uses a desktop. So that was the biggest issue why I started Zade. Zaid was start like we started Zaid in the month of January, December, January. You know, we started throwing around the idea to, you know, fix the user experience of Zaid. So some of the problems that I faced was like the mobile, as I said, you know, the mobile part is there. There was nobody taught me, like, you know, I mean, there was no customer support in DeFi. Nobody tells you what to do, how to do it. The user experience was tedious, as I told you already. I mean, come on, you have to install so many browser extensions. You have to go through so many places. If I want to send a payment to my, if I want to send a payment, I just click a button on my UPI app. I click my money on, I click a button on Paytm or any traditional financial application. It's one click away. We are progressing in DeFi just backwards. We have to click so many buttons to get a simple task done. So this was these were the reasons why I started Zaid. But unfortunately, we started Zaid on the Terra platform. Come on, I mean, everybody is lured in by 20% APY. No matter how much do you research, everybody loves 20% APY. Right, everybody loves Doquan's vision of selling you the fact that, you know, UST, algorithmic stable coin backed by almost nothing, can replace the US dollar, which is backed by, what is it backed by again? Okay, so it's not backed by anything. But yeah, a UST, just like, you know, at that point, the market cap was around like what, $60 billion, will replace the US dollar, which has trillions of dollars of volume traded daily. So yeah, I mean, I got sold onto that vision, but again, you learn from your mistakes. But then came the apocalypse, May, June, Terra fails. Zeta, entire infrastructure was built on Terra, failed completely. So that's when we realized our goal was much larger than we thought. And there are two major problems that were being overlooked. That was sustainability, security, as well as real-world adoption, utility, and connections. Sustainability in DeFi space has been a matter of, you know, it's a joke actually. It took Warren Buffet, Warren Buffet, one of the greatest investors of our time, has an annualized return of, you know, 18%. Doquan promises 20%. Justin Sun still gives us 30%. Whereas Olympus DAO gives us 100,000% APY. Sustainability in the space is a joke. And after all, you know, they make money out of thin air because 100,000 APY. You got to make it out of thin air, man, because I'm not paying 200,000% while taking a loan. I'm not paying 200,000%. Play to earn games. I mean, come on. I mean, if someone tells me they're sustainable, if someone makes a sustainable play to earn game, that person has found the key to unlimited money. But at the end of the day, and there's security as well. I'm not even going to talk about, you know, how many protocols we see exploited every day. Rug pulls. I mean, everybody is doing a rug pull every day. Like, you know, just spend $100,000 on marketing, make some shitty art, and you're going to get you can make an NFT. People are going to make a community. You're going to make it, just put in a hashtag, and boom, you can easily create an NFT, and then you can later rug pull it. Quickest way to make money, according to me. So we have seen a lot of scams in this space. We have seen this space is flawed in terms of security. Everything is wrong with this space in security. Lastly, let's talk about the biggest problem in this space. The real world utility. Most of the DeFi protocols today are not solving a real problem. We are getting stuff that we don't need. There are so many real problems that need to be solved. I need to take a EMI. I have to go to the traditional bank. Like, I want to do it on DeFi. Why do I need to go to a bank? Similarly, if I want to purchase something I like, I cannot do it with my Web3 or my DeFi currency. I need to do it with my fiat. I need to go to my bank to do that. Another thing being real world connections. We don't have any real world assets, right? For example, as I said, you know, as I already told you, if I want to take a mortgage, there are several people trying to do it. I totally agree. There is Centrifuge, there is FedEx, there is Goldfinch who are trying to bring in real world. That's awesome, but it's not at the pace that it's supposed to be. It's not being prioritized at it's supposed to be. People are just, you know, borrowing against multiple crypto tokens. You can borrow against tokens like, you know, they don't have liquidity at all. Mango markets, you can take Mango as a collateral to take a loan. You can take, I mean, I don't even know, like, you can take, I don't know, like Shiba Inu, Floki Inu, I mean, just any dog in you. You can borrow against that, but you cannot borrow against one of the most stable assets in the world. You cannot borrow against land in DeFi. We need to bring in real world assets as soon as possible. And, it needs to be at the very top of a list to bring in real world assets. So these are some of the biggest problems in the DeFi space, as I would say. And the future of DeFi, as well as, you know, I think I forgot to mention one of the biggest issues in DeFi, regulation. I mean, when can we actually use a DeFi protocol and have a token which is which has a real utility and is not a security? Because according to me, till date, there is no token. You cannot find me a single token which cannot be classified as a security and provides you a real utility. Come on, I mean, having governance. I mean, how many people actually govern on protocols? And, you know, and even if people do govern on protocols, how many protocols have good governance? Tron DAO, Justinson owns, you know, like more than 50% of the total tokens. So what's the use of having a DAO? You have just created a centralized company on the name of a DAO. Everybody was against Terra 2.0. Dokon still created Terra 2.0. There are multiple more examples. I'm going to take some lesser known names over here. Deuce DAO. There is MakerDAO. There are like multiple DAOs who have openly shown to act against the interest of the general public because the polls were rigged. Because the token ownership, because the tokenomics are designed in such a manner that it operates as a centralized company. So that's there. Those are some of the issues, I would say. And in terms of the future of this space, it was destined to replace banks. And it will replace banks. Like all the greatest inventions, DeFi is going through a phase where, you know, where we will make mistakes. But we will learn from our mistakes as well. If we don't make these mistakes, we will make these mistakes in the future. So, So in the future, we will see more utility-based usage of DeFi. And people will not be here to make money. People will treat it as banks. People will be here to basically save their money or to use it as they use with traditional companies or traditional fintech apps. Right now, most of the people in DeFi are here to make crazy money. Like they expect to make 200%, 300%. They expect to, you know, be broke today and wake up as a millionaire the next day. But that's not how the real world works. That's how it works in a fairy tale. But we are not living in a fairy tale. We are living in a real world. So. Yeah, that's according to me what DeFi is.
True. I think what happened was when DeFi, the word DeFi was coined, there was already platforms that existed before it, Uniswap and all. And the word DeFi itself was kind of a marketing ploy, so as to speak, to make it more popular. But what actually happened was people started understanding about yield farming and making those crazy APYs, and that's how kind of it got that bad rapport, which you were kind of talking about. Also, I kind of agree with all the points that you made: security, scalability, regulations not being there, the UI/UX experience itself being a joke right now. I think these are major problems in the DeFi space, and people are kind of solving these in bits and parts, but I can see why you are working on something like this, because you are solving your own problems that way, right? Your dog fooding. You have gone through this entire process and kind of you're working towards solving these challenges, right? So tell us what Zayd Finance is actually doing. How is it kind of making it simple? Can you talk us through your platform?
Got it. Okay. So Zayd is something like, you know, we call Zayd the, the reason why I started working on Zayd. So for me, you know, the thing is I hated startups, first of all.
You're literally a startup founder.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, this is before I started. And I still hate startup. I love the community. I love the people. I hate the overvalued valuation. Startups lose money, right? Startups lose a lot of money. We have seen multiple overvalued startups. They don't. So for me, you know, it was like, it's a lot risky. The economics don't make sense. So if something doesn't make sense to me, I don't like it. So that's why I hated startups, and plus it was a lot of work. But after that, you know, because of the magnitude of this problem, I decided to take on Zayd. Even though, Zayd, I mean, you know, I don't usually go to solve a problem because I know someone else will. But this opportunity that presented itself, the DeFi, the future of DeFi, the complete scope, the problems that I was facing actually. So for me, this was an opportunity that I was not supposed to miss. So that's why, like, you know, as I told you, user experience was the reason why I started Zayd. Zayd is the world, like, you know, there are people are trying to solve this problem. Like, you know, somebody is trying to solve this problem. Someone is doing in this space. We want it to be our one-stop solution. We are the super decentralized bank. we are like people ask me who the competitors of Zeta. It's not any DeFi protocol. It is the banks. Absolutely the banks. We are going up against the every banks in the world who have got billions of dollars in market capitalization, who are worth billions of dollars. So what Zed is the super app. Like if you, I'm just talking about like if you use Zed. Zed is like any fintech application. It's like Revolut. It's like Paytm. It's like any fintech app. It provides all the banking services. Right now we have three where you can earn. We have a savings account where you can beat inflation. It's created specifically to beat inflation. For example, if you live in India, so the interest rate that you will receive is specifically designed to be more than like 0.2% than the inflation rate in India. Similarly, if you live in the US, your interest rate will be 0.1 or 0.2% more than the inflation rate in the US. So Zed is powered by three protocols as well: Sabex, Derivex, and Remitex. As of now, in the future, we aim to introduce multiple protocols. We already have three, representing every banking services. Every banking services. We got InsureX, we got MoneyX, like which is a trading protocol. If I was to describe Zed in two lines, it would be: we provide all banking services on the blockchain in the most transparent and efficient manner possible, powered by our own DeFi protocols, which are innovative and sustainable, which replicate real-world banking services with the user experience of a neobank, which is so seamless that even your grandma can use it. Once you use a super app, you cannot even distinguish it from something like Revolut or something like Paytm, etc. Once you get into app, you can send payments all around the world. And this was the first we did it in DeFi. You can send payments to mobile numbers and email addresses on chain completely, across all chains and through multiple stable coins. We also got Sabex, a money market protocol. I already explained about our savings account where you get more than your region inflation rate. Sabex is a money market protocol. So for every deposit side, there's also a borrowing side. So the borrowing side is you can borrow. We have introduced individual borrowing rates and you can borrow against multiple real world assets. We have partnered with multiple protocols because you cannot do everything on our own. We will partner with multiple protocols that introduce real world lending. They lend out to real world businesses, borrowing against real world assets. And lastly, this is our most used feature. And for all the pros out there, people can trade more than 5,000 plus markets, including stocks, crypto, commodities, forex, indices, and much, much more. So that's what Zed is. We are bringing a hybrid solution between DeFi and banks. We are solving each and every problem in DeFi. User experience solved. We just bought you a banking experience. Super mobile application, mobile solved. It's tedious. We brought it in one place. It's you cannot understand it. We got in customer support, man. You don't know what DeFi is. So cool. You're not dealing with DeFi. You're dealing with the traditional financial user experience. Sustainability. All our protocols, we don't have a token. So we don't have a token to boost. We don't have we are not like, for sustainability matters the most. We don't care about crazy APYs. If you want to be a billionaire the next day, Zed is not the place for you. If you want the place where you can keep your money safe, Zed is the place for you. You want to borrow against real world assets, Zed is the place for you. You want to trade like a pro, Zed is the place for you.
It's a $1 trillion opportunity if I have to kind of visualize it and kind of estimate the market size that you're kind of trying to capture. Because you're doing so many things together, right? You're doing payments, you're doing investments, it's borrowing, I think.
We are, so this is the thing. The thing is like, see, according to me, like, when you're running, this is something like, someone else said, and she said like, if you're running if you're running an 8 lakh business and you're running an 8 CR business, you both will have stress, right? So why not go after the 8 CR business? Because that's why you're going to have the stress, right? Because you're going to have stress whether you're doing an 8 lakh or 8 CR business. So similarly for me, if I go for a $22 million opportunity, when you can go for the $22 trillion opportunity, when you have the chance. And for me, the reason, like people told me, you cannot do one properly if you're going after all of them. So for them, I got about 1 million lines of code and I got three protocols. All of our three protocols are better than every protocol out there. The reason why I can say this is because Derivex and Sabex, it took us 6 months to design each of these protocols. And we have done our market research. Nobody can provide as many markets on perpetual futures as we do. And nobody can provide a protocol structure I'm talking about a money market protocol like we have done. Like each of our protocols were not designed to defeat other DeFi protocols. They were created to replace banking services. So that's what makes us different from all the other DeFi protocols out there.
True, true. So let's talk about decentralization for a moment. You mentioned Zayd is different from banks, right? Banks usually centralized authorities, right? And that's why there is so much... That's why DeFi kind of came into picture in the first place. But what is that you mean by, you know, the super decentralized bank? What is that exactly? How is it kind of different from the banking system, so as to speak?
Exactly. Well, so, you know, the reason why we call ourselves the super decentralized bank is, so first of all, as I told you, like, you know, DeFi is now, like, it's not seen as an alternative to the banking services, right? And we have created a hybrid solution. So Zayd is made up of the DeFi side and the banking side. From the banking, we have taken the real world utility and we have taken the user experience. From DeFi, we have taken the scalability, efficiency, and we have taken the completely non-custodial, transparent, and the security, I would say. So we combined both of them together. So Zayd provides you the user experience of a bank, all the banking services, and it provides you the decentralization, the transparency, the non-custodial nature, and the efficiency of all the DeFi protocols. What makes us different from these banks is because we have removed all these middlemen, we have we are bringing it on the blockchain. We have made it completely autonomous. We can provide you a more efficient service. We can provide you a safer service. As compared to other DeFi protocols, we have made a better user experience, and we have taken all the banking services, right? So therefore, we can provide you a better real-world utility. And lastly, I would say we can provide you with a better experience overall of banks, which banks provide today, and the better comfort that the banks provide you on the day, because you know that your money is safe with the banks.
Awesome. Can you help people understand by a use case, like when they come to the Zayd app, what is that they can do on the Zayd app? Can you run us through some couple of use cases?
Got it. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So first of all, I'm not going to talk about myself because, you know, I'm a guy, you know, who deals with these problems every day. So like, you know, sending payments to complex addresses. So I'm going to say, no, for me, I'm not facing an issue. I did face some issues, but then I have overcome it. So I'm not going to talk about myself. Let's talk about a 60-year-old woman. Okay. Who wants to send some money abroad from, let's say, Nigeria to India. It's one of the most basic examples. And this is one of the most basic examples given on, about blockchain payments. So they can send payments globally without paying very high fees, without waiting for a long time to someone living in India or the US. And they can send it using the blockchain. That's the beauty of what we have been explained. But now let's come to the reality. The 60-year-old woman who lives in Nigeria does not have a desktop with her. She does not have MetaMask pre-installed on it. But what 6 billion mobile users do have is, there are 6 billion mobile users in the world. What she does have is a mobile number. She can send a payment to someone living in the US or India to mobile number. For her, it will be as easy as clicking on two buttons and sending it to, you know, someone living abroad. Similarly, I'm a person, you know, looking for a good savings account. I want to beat inflation. I'm losing money to inflation every day. I'm a youngster. I want to make a stable yield. I don't want to worry about my money, and yet I want to generate a decent yield so that I can at least beat inflation. So I can go on SABEX because I know, no matter what will happen, my money will beat inflation. I may not generate huge returns, but at least it will be safe and it will beat inflation. If I want to borrow, right? I don't have a good credit score. Maybe, you know, in my young days, like I was 20 or something, and I somehow managed to get a very, very bad credit score. Now I'm 30, 35. I managed to get back on track, but the bank does not believe me because my credit score is not good. So I want to borrow somewhere, right? I have the collateral backing it. I have a house. I have a good house. I have collateral backing, but I cannot take a loan. So I come on Zayd, you have no credit score check. You can just put up your collateral and take a loan. Nothing else. If you prove to be careless again, then we liquidate your collateral. If not, then, you know, we have provided you an opportunity to borrow when you had the collateral. And lastly, this is for professionals like me. So, I'm into multiple markets. I'm into equities. I see commodities. I track all these markets, but I cannot trade all of these markets. Right. So for trading those markets, I need to get access to those licenses. I need to get access to multiple brokers. For example, if I want to purchase US stock, I can do it using multiple dApps now. I can do it using multiple apps like IndMoney, etc. But let's talk something more complex. Japanese stocks. How am I going to purchase Japanese stocks? I need a broker, Japanese broker. How can I do it from India? Introducing Derivex. Right, Derivex allows you to create more than 5,000 plus stocks. Although we are not added support for Japanese stocks, we will in the future. You can create Japanese stocks sitting in India because then you have the information to that. Come on, I mean, I got the information of US stocks. Every day, I don't know what's happening in my home, but I know what's happening with the US stock market. Yet I cannot trade it because I don't have the license. Any person, geography is not a restriction. Capital is not the restriction. You can start as low as $5 or maybe $10. Liquidity will not be an issue because we have introduced the world's most capital efficient solution. We have introduced a counterparty mechanism which will take your counter position and it will hedge it in the spot market. For example, again, coming back to the US stock options. So if someone takes a position in ZAID for, let's say, a US stock like Tesla, right? You take, for example, you take a long position in Tesla of $10. So my counterparty will take a $10 position against you, and then it will hedge its position in the traditional market, therefore creating a delta neutral position for itself while generating some yield while generating the fees like 0.1% for itself, whereas you will enjoy liquidity. So that's how we have generated a capital efficient system. In the future, our protocols InsureX will help you in insurance. They will help you in trading actual markets. Like when you deal in derivatives, you don't get benefits like dividends, etc. So we are going to introduce tokenized stocks. We're going to have direct exposure to the markets. So there are plenty of examples on which you can use ZAID. As I said, you can borrow against multiple assets or even send payments. I mean, payments itself is such a big problem. Global payments to mobile numbers. So those are some of the very few examples of how you can use ZAID in the real life.
Why haven't we been able to use it yet? When are you coming out with this platform?
So, first of all, what's
your roadmap? Where are you currently in your?
Yeah, we recently concluded journey? A beta. Yeah, we recently concluded a beta. We were basically testing out our protocols in real life. So we were in testnet for around 2 months. Right now, we are down for around like 15 or 20 days. We are basically shifting from testnet to mainnet. Around 30th of November, our product should come out. 30th of November, we are initially launching using a web app, so that we can get the initial audience. 4 months later, around Feb, we are launching with a mobile application on iOS and Android both. It will be in a private beta for a month. And we are expecting around April to launch globally. Initially, we are targeting two kinds of people, the biggest critics in DeFi and students. We will be targeting mainly the US and the Europe. The reason being, in the future, we aim to bring out multiple stable coins. Right now, we have only support for USDC. But in the future, we have plans to roll out Eurocoin, INR coin, and multiple fiat-backed stable coins. And these will not be by us, but by other players like Circle, Tether, etc. Because we cannot do everything in this space. And after all, the DeFi space is all about collaboration. Right now, we are in a testnet. Mainnet will be out by 30th November. It will be in a public beta. But you can basically use it as any other DeFi protocol, or you can use it. It's going to be a completely new experience, I would say, but it will be live in a beta. There may be some glitches, but otherwise it will be a full-blown product. We have been continuously testing it. And as we are having this call as well, our team is working on perfecting our product. We are a product-first company, and that's our vision always, to create the most cash product possible. And we are going to get the users and community anyways.
Amazing, amazing. For people who want to check that out, play around with the testnet or the mainnet, I'll leave the links that Harshal shares with me in the description or the show notes below. So go and check that out, play with it. You can join the Discord for ZAID Finance also, and share your learnings and collaborate with the community out there. So all of those links you can find down in the description below. Harshal, I have a few basic questions, and forgive me for my naivety, but how are you kind of handling the on-ramp, off-ramp places, stock markets, banks, fiat? How are you kind of moving this, handling this integrations between these two very different entities, I would say? How is this handled?
That's fantastic. Okay, so first of all, I forgot to mention one of the biggest parts as well. Fiat on and off-ramps. Right, so this is something that we have also done. We are still working on it because this is also one of the biggest issues in DeFi right now. So the first thing is, we have introduced multiple ramps such as Transact, OnRamper, Wire, etc. But that's there. But we have also introduced one of the first in DeFi. You can find this in centralized exchanges. We call it Zate P2P. But what a P2P, Zate P2P is nothing but basically, you know, you can trade your crypto for fiat using OTC. It's going to be an OTC trade. But the problem that we have with P2P is the delay. For example, if I send you USDC right now, you may not send me INR. You may send it to me 2 days later. So there's always some uncertainty whether I will receive my money or not, right? So there were some issues that we were facing with P2P, but P2P is very efficient. And right now, the situation in India is on-ramps are very difficult to access, as we have seen it. So therefore, having a P2P solution is very important. And that's what we have introduced as well. So our P2P introduces something known as verified users and something known as 5 minute or 5 minute orders. Like for example, if the if you send your USDC and you don't receive the payment within 5 minutes, the order will be reversed. And it's completely, and we also introduced verified users where it's guaranteed that you will, you know, verified users are users who Zade has the KYC, who Zade has the complete information. And Zade has itself verified all those users. So that's with the fiat ramps. And considering the capital efficiency part, as well as, you know, multiple partnerships, as I told you, the space is all about collaboration. So therefore, introducing collaborations, we had to partner with multiple people. And Zade is all about bringing traditional finance and DeFi together. That's how we are bringing it all together. We have to, even our team, if you're talking about it, our team has people from both Web2 and Web3. So everything for us, everything is a hybrid solution, whether it's a team, whether it's a product, whether it's a marketing style that we're approaching or the way we are going to the market. It's completely hybrid.
Awesome. Awesome. And I think the way you have explained it, it's making much more sense to me now, because that was the first question that I had in mind. Like, how are you kind of managing those fiat on-ramp, off-ramp? But yeah, this makes it much clearer. Another question that I think this will also be on people's mind, because we are kind of in a very, you know, volatile state right now. We are seeing so many rug pulls and scams out there. People really want to invest in safe platforms. So how do you make Zade a safe platform is my question. What are the audits that you've gone through? Have you gone through any audits? How do people kind of believe you that you are kind of a safe platform to invest in?
Right. So first of all, let's talk about the projects that get rug pulled. Okay. What are the things that get rug pulled? Okay. I'm going to first of all address three issues. Rug pulls, smart contract failures, and lastly, I would say protocol exploits. Okay. So number one, rug pulls. NFTs and tokens. Why do NFTs get rug pulled? Come on, it's art. People can definitely... They provide some art and they provide some roadmap. I'm pretty sure they're not going to complete like metaverse around it. So they provide you such a big roadmap, but when they get the money inside, they don't care about it, man. I mean, we got the money. Even if we deliver on these projects, we're not going to make as much money as we made from an NFT sale. Token sale. Zade doesn't have a token to sell. I mean, see, the reason why we don't have a token is like having a token-based DeFi protocol is like running a public company. And there is a reason why not every early stage company is a public company, because the pressure and the traction that you need for a public company is immense. Do not just start a protocol and expect the team behind it to work like a public company. It's just not real. So we don't have a token that we can rug pull. We don't have a NFT that we can rug pull. So what can we rug pull? So there is nothing to rug pull at the end of the day. What we can rug pull is our project. But that will only be bad for us, because we have given like way too much time, energy, whatever money we have on this vision. And I'm pretty sure that we won't give up on this. So rug pull is out of the question. Similarly, let's talk about the security of smart contracts. So everything about Zade is open source. Our documents, our code base, and literally everything is open source on Zade. So if anybody finds any flaws on Zade, they can basically, you know, they can just tell us about it. Also, we also have audits. But at the end of the day, you know, we are getting audits done. We are getting audits done. The thing is, you cannot have your contracts audited until they are on mainnet. So that's one thing. So we are getting them audited as well. It will be done. It will be done as soon as we exit our beta, which is pretty soon. But audits usually don't. I mean, wormhole. And every major DeFi hacks that we have seen were also audited. So audits and smart contract failures are one of the least concerns in DeFi. Thirdly, considering exploits and exploits in protocols and these hacks that we see in DeFi. Let's talk about the recent hack, Mango Markets. Why did Mango Market get exploited? The reason why Mango Markets got exploited was because they were running low liquidity tokens. And Zaid, as I told, is made for sustainability. Most of our tokens that we list, or most of the trading that we have on DerivX, our trading platform, is of like, you know, highly liquid tokens such as like top 50 cryptocurrencies, stocks, real estate, etc. And lastly, what can make you trust Zaid is the team. Everything, our team is public. Our Discord is public. If you have any problem with us, just take it up with us. Our protocol is completely decentralized. There is not a centralized element to it. We cannot control it. Our protocol doesn't have anything, like it doesn't have any DAO elements. If I'm being totally honest with you, it's nothing but a set of programs that needs to be executed. Nothing else. That's it. And when you just give them a set of programs on a smart contract, which will be executed no matter what, I don't think so you're going to find something that you cannot trust. So yeah, that's why I think the people will trust Zaid.
I'm really excited for your mainnet launch. I would love to try out the platform myself. And for people again who want to check that out, I'll leave the links in the description below so you can go check that out. Also, you can join the Discord community, understand more about Zaid from Harshal himself. His entire team is on the Discord community, and you can go check that out, talk to them, understand. If any you have any more questions, they would be ready to answer those questions for sure. So I would leave the Discord link also in the description below. Harshal, this is about Zaid. I really want to understand your side as a startup founder, right? So yeah. I think my first question is, how do you kind of manage... You're literally 16 years old. How do you kind of manage your startup, your school, your education? How do you do it?
Okay, other startup education. I'm also a full-time, I'm also a professional cricketer as well. So now the question comes like, how am I managing this, right? So the first thing is I don't study. So this is, I'm getting a bit personal over here.
That's too honest.
I'm just getting too personal over here. So, I started learning about finance and I started getting into finance and tech since 2018, 2019. And 2020 was just a boost for me. I started getting into coding. I started getting into, into finance, mainly finance, I would say. And I started to get into unconventional education because according to me, what others are doing, if you want to be different, then you got to behave differently. Others go to school, others do what they're told to, others get good grades. But for me, I got to think different. If you want to be different, you got to be different. The only way to survive in the real world is to be in the real world, right? And believe me, people are not going to believe this. When you are working as a startup founder, when you're doing things on a daily basis, you may not get 98%, right? But when you are in the real world, you get your skills to solve those problems, like maybe solving an exam or maybe playing cricket, anything. Be running a startup and after you run a startup, these things are gonna be like nothing. These things are like when you're running a startup, like I'm just being totally honest with you. While I'm working on Zaid, the Zaid challenges me so much. Like nothing has ever challenged me as much as Zaid. But still every day, 7 days in the week, I would say 16 hours a day, like 10 hours, 12 hours a day, I'll give it to Zaid because I love doing it. And regarding the rest of my task, managing all of the rest of the stuff, I would say it's going to be easy for you once you learn running a startup. And people say running a startup is tiring, but believe me, when you love something, you don't find it tiring. You're going to want to do it again and again. And the day you feel like, nah, it's so tiring, I don't want to do it, just leave that stuff. Because if you don't like someone, something, don't do it. So yeah, and in terms of managing, yes, it's, so I get dark circles. So yeah, there are a lot of stuff, my team and I hate it, because I make them I've been very, very bad on the body. I don't let them sleep. I don't sleep myself. As well as, we have a very, very unhealthy lifestyle. We have lunches at 5, sometimes at 7. Sometimes we sleep at 1:30 in the night and we have to wake up 4:30 in the morning. Our schedules are completely mixed up. So yeah, it does happen, but if you want to achieve something in the life, you got to sacrifice on these small paths. So yeah, that's what managing a startup is, I would say.
Absolutely. I think it's something that drives you, right? When you start a thing, you are kind of building your own legacy, right? And it's something that you can't ignore, something that is always on your mind. And I completely identify with you when you said that. So, and I have done some of these things myself while doing my own startup. So, but yeah, amazing thoughts, Harshal. How do you kind of explain, this is a question that I always had on my mind before when I started understanding more about you. How do you explain it to your parents what you do?
Yeah, I know this question was coming. So, you know, I'm just going to tell you what I told to my parents. Okay, thing is, you let me do what I'm doing, like, you know, but I'm going to get you some grades. I'm going to get you decent grades around 90, 85, 90. That's decent. I'm going to get it to you. Don't expect more from me because above than that, that's useless. I'm going to maintain my body. I'm not going to become fat. So that was the only promise I gave them. And I told them, just leave it on me. I'm going to build it myself. I need your support. Definitely. It's very important, but I'm going to build it myself. So yeah, that's what I said.
And how do you kind of explain what your work is? Like, what is DeFi? Do they kind of get it? What you are building?
I mean, to be honest, like, you know, multiple people have, you know, everybody asks me, oh, he's running a startup. What does he do? So my first response is, I just laugh it off, firstly. And the response, and the thing is, like, you know, if there is, I just show them, you know about banks, right? Yeah, they're not going to exist. And I'm the one who's going to replace them. So that's usually the explanation I give. But yeah, I've tried to explain them over some time, you know. It takes some time, you know, like, because, see, it took me around 3 to 4 months to explain them what Zade is. Although I'm pretty sure they don't get what it is completely. But again, it's a very, very difficult concept to grasp as well.
True. The life of a founder is always going to be challenging, and more for you because you're literally balancing so many things together, your education, your sports, and your startup together. So it's an amazing journey, and I personally have learned so much from you, and I feel I'm regretting wasting so many years of my life doing nothing. But on that note, Harshal, that's all the questions that I had. Thank you so much for taking the time out today. It's been a great learning experience for me, honestly, and I'm sure all the young entrepreneurs out there will be inspired by your journey. So thank you so much for sharing your story and all of these insights around Zade and DeFi and all of these different aspects of the Web3 space, which you are kind of making simple, which is kind of the objective of my podcast as well, to make Web3 simple for people. So thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for building this product. And I wish you and Zade Finance all the best in the near future.
Thanks a lot, Prashant. And, you know, I mean, it's really been amazing to be on this podcast. You know, I really enjoy talking to you before this podcast as well. So, you know, it's been great. It's been a great experience.
Thank you so much.